إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فأعرض عمن تولى عن ذكرنا ولم يرد إلا الحياة الدنيا، ذلك مبلغهم من العلم، إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بمن اهتدى. وقال تعالى: لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Respected honorable ulama, friends, guests, and mashayikh. First of all, having an opportunity to be here a few times after I graduated in 2003. When I landed in Johannesburg, I went straight to Durban. I came from Toronto. And I was really amazed to see the environment in South Africa. And me coming from Western background and working in the youth. When I graduated, the first job that I was given was to work in the youth. Now, when I was told by Mufti Sayyid Saab, Dawud Barakatuhum, that I will be doing a youth program, and this youth program will be 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, I was puzzled that how is it possible for us to have a program Saturday morning, 10 o'clock? Now, but when I came here and I saw the environment, the zeal, the passion in the youth, I was taken back. That subhanAllah, at 10 o'clock, the youth and the ulama were present. Generally, we find, or my experience for many years was that in order for me to reach to them, I would be awake, especially on Friday night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. For those that know me, this was a normal thing for me, in order for me to reach out to them and to be friends with them, because that was the only time they would be available, and they would not never be available in the morning. In fact, the routine, and I'm not sure that if it's the Western effect or we find those youth in South Africa as well, but in Western world, to have a youth program to at 10 o'clock in the morning is virtually impossible. We can't keep a program in the morning. But alhamdulillah, we can see the difference here, and this is through our mashayikh that we're able to enjoy this environment where we have the zeal and passion to sit in their company. So when I came to South Africa, my family was here way before me, and I have come to receive them and take them back to Canada. And, you know, this mind is, I'm constantly thinking, and I'm confused as well, that I should keep my family, and sometimes I think to myself that I should actually move here. So the message that I'm trying to give you here is that there's a lot of the Western world, and what we see, especially in the social media, and the scholars that we see, and the pomp and show that we see, don't get distracted by that. This is the real environment that can bring change to our lives, and it can change our hearts. And what we see in the Western world will distract us, especially if you go onto Facebook, especially if we are those that go onto YouTube and watch all those lectures and all those programs which are out there on different digital world, we will get distracted. So when we come here and when we see the ulama, I myself, every single day I'm thinking that should I relocate and come back here and stay because of the fitna and the trials that we see in that place there. Now when I come, I just want to speak because mashallah we had a lot of very good, mashallah, you know, some very good food for our soul. You know, we need to understand, just on this note here, that our body... Now I want to talk about more, you know, from, you know, because a lot of us are, you know, we come, you know, iPhone and different things, every Google and whatever, everything, you know, takes us back to the West. So, you know, we have that. And along with that, a lot of ulama, I don't know if the ulama are sitting here or if it's just a mashallah, the youth from just from our neighborhood sitting here, but I believe that there are many ulama sitting here. But I've noticed that many ulama do get affected. I know many graduates that have graduated from Azadville, from Zakaria Park, and many different places have actually changed their perceptions after coming back, after leaving and graduating from this place here. And they felt different, and things have changed in their lives. So I wanted to just, you know, bring some, you know, give you some confidence. But before I get there, I wanted to share one point that came to my mind on the note of soul. That me and you are sitting here, you know, day and night, alhamdulillah, we feed our body. And we eat so much that it actually becomes difficult for our body to digest that food. And we make it very difficult upon our body. But our soul, so our body, has been created from what? Clay. Dirt. مِنْهَا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. This is exactly what we read when we go to the grave and when we're burying our loved ones. But our soul was not created from this dirt. Our soul came from the heaven. So for our body to be kept intact, we need that which is connected to dirt. So all that we eat is only feeding our body. So all that, whatever we eat, rice, bread, whatever we're eating, that's only going to our body. And it's not going to our soul at all. And what goes to our soul? Because when we depart from this world, then that's the end of this world. So when we depart, our body goes to the ground because it came from the dirt. But our soul does not go to the ground. Our soul goes to the heavens. So, to feed our soul is hungry. How do we feed our soul? By remembering Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because through this, we will be feeding our soul. So it's very important that when we sit in a gathering like this here, what we're actually doing right now, it's an exercise to feed our soul and nourish our soul and make our soul so strong that we are able to keep ourselves, or keep our iman intact and keep ourselves firm on Sirat al-Mustaqim, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. And that is why we are sitting here. That is why this environment is, like, I've never seen an environment like this here before. And you know, I'm so happy that in my days when we were studying, and I'm so grateful to Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sa'dan Barakatuh, who started this Islahi Majlis, because when we were studying, we didn't see these type of programs, but alhamdulillah, we do need these programs. So I was mentioning about ulama. Many ulama, what happens is, this is just the reality, that when we finish our course, and when we study, after that, when we go back to I'm more relating to the ones that come back to America, the ones that come back to Canada or England, to the Western world, because I have seen them, so I can't speak for everyone. But when I see them, normally we get oblivious, or sometimes we get distracted because of what we see out there. And as a result of that, we go back to university, or we change our perceptions and our mind. But rest assured that the real deen is what we get here, not what we see in a digital world. I've seen, and I have to say with extreme sorrow and grief, that there have been huffaz, especially a lot of huffaz, have completely changed, 180 turn in their life. So they came to, you know, madrasas like this, in different places, but when they came back and they got distracted, they not just changed their lifestyle, but they actually changed their iman as well. And what we see in this Western world, where we find a lot of Muslims coming into Islam, but sad to say that there is, from the back door, we find a lot of our own community leaving Islam. So our parents invested upon us to become hafiz. Our parents invested their money, their financial support, their time upon us so that we can study and become a means of guidance for ourselves and for others. But the reality is that when we don't have this type of company, when we are not connected with the mashayikh, when we don't keep ourselves cemented with our mashayikh, then we tend to lose all that, what we have, and we get distracted, and we go into a different world altogether. That is why we find many, many mashayikh, many, many huffaz, many ulama, especially in the Western world, I'm not saying all, but the ones that I have seen, some of them that I have seen, they have been really distracted with the environment there. So the first message that I wanted to give is that لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Be grateful to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has facilitated this type of Islahi program, so where we learn knowledge on daily basis. Knowledge is transmitted to all of us, but that is not sufficient. Along with knowledge, we need nourishment for our soul so that we can connect with knowledge. So when we have that, you know, ta'alluq with mashayikh, we are able to connect, and we are able to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we have this, inshallah, we will be firm. We go back to Canada, we go back to our countries, but on regular basis, we're able to mention our ahwal. You know, many a times, it is mentioned about ulama, when they have ta'alluq with not just ulama, but regular people as well. When we have ta'alluq with our mashayikh, one of the problem is that we have a very superficial ta'alluq with our mashayikh. And we have this that, you know, I am a khalifa, or I am a murid of so-and-so person. And we feel that this is sufficient for us to take us further. But that is not sufficient. You know, I remember when I was in the same madrasa here, Mufti Rashid Sahib, who had come, and he mentioned to me, and he gave me this advice when he was walking, you know, from, I believe, Shah Muradabad. He came, he's a great Mufti there. When he came, and he mentioned it's very important that, you know, from our mashayikh, the first thing is that anyone who we have ta'alluq with, we need to make sure that we have firm aqidat and respect. You know, the aqidat and respect is very, very important. Now, normally what happens is that, you know, we have ta'alluq with, let's say, one sheikh, and then now we see someone else, now we're attracted to that person, that person, that person, and we cannot make our mind up. So when we have ta'alluq with someone, the first thing is we need to build that aqidat and muhabbat and respect. That is very, very important. And when we have that, this is my sheikh, and I'm going to be in his company, and I'm going to take maximum benefit, and he is the one who's going to guide me. So when I have made istikhara, and I have gone to that sheikh, then first, so after having this muhabbat, aqidat, ta'alluq, after this here, the second thing that comes, which most of us lack, is ittila. And ittila basically means that what we need to do is we need to inform our condition. If you don't inform our condition, then, you know, no one is alimul ghaib here. Our ustaz, our sheikh will never know what's happening. So generally what happens is that, you know, we call them. After we graduate, we call them. But it's just, you know, assalamu alaikum, how are you? What are you doing? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. But we don't open up. Now we're not telling them our real stories, what we're experiencing. So the second part, which is what? Ittila. He told me, ittila. It's very, very important that when we have ta'alluq with someone, and we have connection with someone, then we should be doing what? Ittila. We need to inform them, and let them know of what our condition is. And don't be shy, because he is there to help you. He's not going to embarrass you. You know, at times we feel that, you know what? You know, I'm going to be embarrassed, and he's going to feel, you know, what is he going to say about me? I'm going through this condition here, I'm going through this here. Whatever your condition is, it is far, you know, your sheikh is like your father. And your father cares for you. Your sheikh cares for you. And he loves you. And he wants you to fly. And he wants you to move. And he wants you to be successful. So it's very important for us that when we have ta'alluq with our sheikh, we must do ittila. We need to inform them and let them know of what is happening to us. When you don't do this, this is the area where we, you know, slack off and we're not able to, you know, keep, you know, have a better relationship with our sheikh. And then the third thing is ittiba. Ittiba basically means is that once we have ta'alluq with our sheikh, then once we have informed them, then take their advice seriously. Ittiba, listen to them. And follow their advice. Take it very, very seriously. And they're telling us based on our condition, so take it seriously. When you do these three things here, we will be able to benefit from our sheikh. Otherwise, many are times we have these type of companies, but we are not able to take benefit from these type, from our sheikh, because we're not doing, well, you know, we don't do ittila, and we don't do ittiba. So these two things are, or these three things, but obviously we have the first one. But the last two, we slack off. But when we have that, we will be able to maintain better relationship and we will be able to further. And when we look at our akabirin, whether it's Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Sheikh Dungohi rahmatullahi alayhi, Mufti Shafisa rahmatullahi alayhi, each one of them, they all had these type of qualities and they were able to take maximum benefit. So this is just basically, I was just mentioning about that our ta'alluq. And alhamdulillah, Ahli Ilm having ta'alluq with their mashayikh is very important. I realized that in my days when I was studying in Dabil, I graduated from Dabil and then I came here for iftar. And I remember Hazrat Mufti Mahusa rahmatullahi alayhi, you know, he used to come there. And even at that time, I had this mizaj of ilm. And, you know, more of an ilmi mizaj and, you know, away from zikr and things like that. And I realized a lot later, almost when I finished, and virtually when I finished from Dabil, then I realized that I made a big mistake. I made a huge mistake. And I'm sharing from my experience. I can relate. I'm speaking from my heart here. I have prepared nothing. I'm just sharing my heart here. I remember 15 years ago, when I was studying here, I had the golden opportunity of spending 2 weeks with Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. I was in his company, and alhamdulillah, I enjoyed his company. So the holidays that we had, I spent all my time there. And it was, and I felt so amazing being in his company. And one of the messages that he gave me repeatedly, and I still remember those places where he told me that nasihat that he gave me from his heart. And one of the nasihat that he gave me was, Ibrahim, learn from others, you know, others' experience. Ibrahim, learn from people's experience. And don't go through the same path until you make the same mistakes that others made. So learn from people's mistake and learn from people's experience. So it's very important that, you know, right now, mashallah, where you are now, and hopefully where you will be, and you will be further, and you will go much further than what you anticipate. But this can only happen when you have ta'alluq with experienced people, when you have ta'alluq with shaykh. So based on experience, I am mentioning this here, that I realized a lot later that how important it was. When I graduated from Darbil, I was missing something. And what I was missing was this ta'alluq with the shaykh. I didn't have the strong bond. Yes, I was good in my kitabs. I love to do research. I love to do many different things. And I enjoyed that, and I still enjoy that. But there was one thing that I was lacking, and that was basically having ta'alluq with a sheikh and having a sheikh. This is something that I was lacking totally in my life. And alhamdulillah, after that, you know, when I came to Zadril and I built a relationship with ta'alluq with our mashayikh, I'm able to take a little bit benefit. I wish I can take more and more benefit. But the point I'm making here is that, you know, sometimes we get distracted. You know, we feel that, you know, we are learning kitabs. We're reading hadith, we're learning Asma'ul Rijal and different books. And we get distracted, we get so distracted that we feel no need of having connection with mashayikh. And we think it's, to have this tasawwuf and to do dhikr, this is like a taboo. Don't think like that. No, have ta'alluq. It's very, 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 very important. When we have ta'alluq with our mashayikh, then we will see exactly how we are able to benefit with our own knowledge. But if you don't have ta'alluq with our mashayikh, we will never be able to benefit from our own knowledge. So this is the second nasihat that's coming up from my heart, that we need to be able to benefit from, we need to benefit from our mashayikh. I read this ayat here, and this is especially for the those that may not be, or that may not have the intention to seek more knowledge. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَعْرِضْ عَمَّنْ تَوَلَّى عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That, O Prophet of Allah, turn yourself away completely. أَعْرِضْ عَمَّنْ تَوَلَّى عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. That person who turns away from who? The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَعْرِضْ عَمَّنْ تَوَلَّى. O Prophet of Allah, turn yourself away from that person who neglected, from who was negligent from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. And the only thing that he had, he only aspired for dunya, dunya, dunya. وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. In fact, his knowledge, in fact, his studying was only for the sake of dunya. Why so? You know, sometimes, you know, some of our students, what happens is that Okay, I will finish this course here, and then I will go to this university. I will do this. I will become an engineer. I will do this. I will do this. Then I will get this job. I will get this position. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this here. So sometimes, even this ilmi deen that we are seeking, it is only for the purpose of dunya. وَلَمْ يُرِيدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. So we need to realize that sometimes, that you know, we may be deceived, that I'm seeking ilmi deen, I'm reading Quran, I'm reading hadith, I'm learning translation of a Quran and hadith, but despite that, our intention can only be for dunya. وَلَمْ يُرِيدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Their ilm is, that's the limit of their knowledge, ظاهر, the apparent knowledge what they sought. And on the same note here, I want to bring a very important point to those that are not making intention to further the knowledge. You know, just it's a food for thought. Can we imagine normal, virtually every child starts off from the age of 5 or age of 4, goes to kindergarten, and then goes to primary school, secondary school, high school. Now he starts off his knowledge of dunya from the age of what? From the age of 5. And he carries on till what? I know when you're graduate from university, you're about 23 to 24 years. And if you want to go further, now when you're finished from your bachelor's, then you're at least 22 to 23 years old. But then if you want to go into more specific, then it might be 28 years. So can you imagine, he studied approximately 20 years of his life. For what? For dunya. And how long will he live in his dunya? No guarantee. But that eternal life, which is forever and ever, and will never end. For that, how much sacrifice, how much knowledge did we see for that? Can we imagine? Just a little bit. You know, we barely, even, you know, this course of 6 to 7 years is nothing compared to what we give to dunya and what we study for dunya. We've given a lot more time for dunya. So even the 6 years course, 7 years this course is nothing compared to what we do. And chances are, most of the ulama, or a lot of ulama, I've noticed, that when they graduate, it becomes very difficult for them to reconnect with their kitabs unless they are in the field of teaching. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult for them to connect. So my dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, you know, this, ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make this dua. One of his dua was, لَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. Wa Allah, do not make this dunya. This dunya here, أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا. One of the greatest worry and concern that I have is dunya. Dunya, 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 dunya. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. And oh Allah, let this dunya not be the limit of my knowledge, the end point of my knowledge. In other words, I studied for 60 years, 70 years, but only dunya, nothing else. The eternal life, the life which is forever and ever, I sought nothing for that. This is very important. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I must say this much, just to create more passion and encouragement. I must say this much, that in the Western world, I have seen the students going to university, being in university, yet they're so zealous and they have so much passion to seek knowledge that I have students. Now these students go to university, their parents wanted them to go to university, but despite that, I wanted them to seek knowledge of deen. And this is just to create hope in those people that, you know, sometimes we think in our life, and this is a very important point, and it's completely based on experience. So normally what we see in society is either you become an alim or you go to university and become a doctor, an engineer, or professional. So east and west. And, you know, this is how it is. But there is no middle ground for that. And I feel that there is a middle ground. That we can be going to university, we can be going to college, and we can be working as well. But despite all that, we can be seeking knowledge of deen. We can be doing that. It's not impossible. And in this world, we think that, you know, especially the general public, they think that, oh, you're going to madrasa, so you're going to become a mulana. You're going to university, oh, so you're not going to be in connection with deen at all. But this is not the case. We can make it happen. And when you go out in the world, you can make it happen that you can be having students that go to university, but they're still studying Hidayah. They go to university, and they're still studying Bukhari Sharif, and Muslim Sharif, Mishkat Sharif. It's possible. They can do this year. And I have seen some of the students. It's amazing that when it comes for takrar, you know, our asatizahs, they emphasize so much, and I still, if my memories go back, and I see some of the supervisors here, they're here for roll call as well. And, Mufti Sahib, yesterday, I was in one of the other masjid, and, some of the talaba, Mufti Sahib met, and he said that, come, let's go for salat. So these talaba said, no, we have to go back to, to Darul Uloom. So Mufti Sahib says, you have to go back to Darul Uloom because you have to, for a roll call. Like, it wasn't for the Islamic program, just to show their face that they're present here for that roll call. We should change our attention. Anyways, so we find that, talaba, I emphasize a lot on my talaba to do takrar. Now, just to give you some inspiration of how they do takrar, that these students here, any free time they get, now can you imagine, big books of Hidayah, they carry them with them in their backpack, okay? And they're walking, they're going in the bus. And they're in university. And in that environment, after finishing their classes, they go to that room and they're making takrar of Hidayah. They're making takrar of Nurul Anwar. And subhanAllah, they're not distracted at all. And I would tell you, when our asatizahs tell us to do takrar, that is extremely important for us. It shouldn't be because, our supervisors here, they're pressuring us and they're telling us, or because of the administration, they're putting a pressure upon us, so we have to show our face. That should not be the case. We need to do this. It's very important for us to become something. I remember these university students here, they took it so seriously when I emphasized. And I'm talking about not only brothers, but even sisters as well. When I tell them that you have to do this. Now, and I remember this. And this is a very important point I learned from Malana Ghulam Mastanvi Damul Barakatuhum. Agar talib ilm ki kamyabi, if you want to know the success of a talib ilm, what he will do after he finishes or after he leaves the four walls of the world, of the madrasa, what is he going to do? In the four walls of the madrasa, it's very easy for him to be connected because he has to. He has no choice. There's attendance in the classroom, there's attendance in our takrar halls, so we have to be here. But once the talib ilm leaves, and what is he going to do after he leaves the four walls of the madrasa, and how successful will he be? If you want to gauge this idea, if you want to just get an idea that how successful will the talib ilm be, then what we need to do is see what the talib ilm is doing in his free time. In his normal time, the time that he has to commit, he will be there. But other than that, the free time that we have, what do we do? That talib ilm who's able to commit himself and go extra mile to connect himself with kitab and study more when there is no pressure on him, then there's a high chance that he will continue to be in that line after he graduates. Otherwise, it's just a pressure from the administration, from the asatizah, and ask that, that's about it. So I've noticed, just to share with you one talib ilm, mashallah, very successful in his engineering. He's working for IBM as well, and also doing Hidayah and Jalalain, different kitabs. And I've noticed that he took it so seriously about takrar. And I'm just trying to create inspiration in us that we need to have this inspiration, and we should not be pressured, regardless if our Nazim Sahib is here or not. We should be able to do what we have to do because that's part of our life. This talib ilm who was with me, I remember it was in Toronto, it's cold. And I know for some of you, it's like Canada is very cold, but sometimes it does get cold, but it does get hot as well. So it was December, I remember it was about minus 25 that day. And now there was a bayan when Maulana Bilal Sahib had come from England. So I went with the student, and we were in a masjid, Medina Masjid. And we were just sitting there and listening to the bayan. So this student of mine, he wanted to do khidmat for me. So you know how sometimes in the talaba, they take your shoes and your jacket. So I had my warm jacket. Now obviously, minus 25, you can't go out without a coat. You need that warm jacket. So So he takes that and he puts it somewhere. Now, in the middle of the bayan, I'm looking back and he disappears. I'm shocked. I'm like, Ya Allah. Now, my attention has gone off the bayan. I'm not listening to bayan anymore. I'm just worried. I'm like, how am I going to get back to my car? It's minus 25 outside. How am I going to get back to my car? And that's what I'm thinking the whole time. I don't see him. I don't see him. I don't see him. And virtually when the bayan was almost finished, I see him right next to me. So I asked him, what happened? He said that, oh, nothing. I said, you got me scared. You took my jacket and you walked away. So he said that, look, you know, this was the time we had appointed to do taqrar. So he went to wuzu khana downstairs on the phone and using the technology for the right reason. So he goes downstairs and he takes his phone and he connects with all these other classmates, and there he did one hour taqrar there, and then he came back. He said, this was a time for me to do taqrar. So he left the bayan and he went downstairs and he did taqrar. We need this dedication. When you don't have this dedication and we're only driven by the force and pressure, then my friends, we have not built ourselves. That energy needs to come within us. That push needs to come within us. That no, I need to do it. And the moment when we are pressured by our teachers, the moment we are pressured by our nazim sahab, that we have not built ourselves yet. We're still like little children. You know, when we were growing up, our mothers, our fathers, they need to tell us, hey, wake up for salat, wake up for salat. Now, Nazim Sahib needs to knock on our door, wake up, wake up, wake up. That's not how it's supposed to be. And that is one of the reasons. That is one of the reasons that we find, even maybe in South Africa, but especially in Canada, seen many, many ulama, they graduate. Many huffaz we find. But very, very, very few ulama and huffaz will we see in the first sub for Fajr Salat. Hardly any. No one is there. Even in today's day and age, we have thousands of huffaz, but no one is there in first saf. And my dear friends, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this hadith is mentioned in Bab al-Jum'ah, لا يزالون قوم يتأخرون حتى يؤخرهم الله. My friends, we sought this knowledge. We learned this knowledge so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. You know, through this knowledge, we need to get promotion, darajat, promotion in this world and promotion in hereafter. Shaheed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned so much about, you know, Ahli Ilm. But despite that, can we imagine that when we don't have our tarbiyatan properly, what happens is, now in the real life, in the masjid we find not a single person is there. Ulama, he comes late. You find most of the ulama, they're standing up and, you know, they miss one rakat, two rakat. We find huffaz, they don't even come for salat. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَزَالُ قَوْمٌ يَتَأَخَّرُونَ. And this hadith is mentioned about the Jummah. And look at our condition for Jummah as well. That, you know, Adhan is called, but we are the last ones to be there. Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَزَالُ قَوْمٌ يَتَأَخَّرُونَ. People will go back, they will continue to go back. حَتَّى يُؤَخِّرُهُمُ اللَّهُ. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep them back. So we want promotion. And you know, in this dunya, you know from you know, we were normal, just an employee, we want to become a manager, chief manager, CEO. We want promotion in this world. And we want promotion in hereafter. And this knowledge we got was so we can get promotion. But look at our real life. Therefore, my dear friends, some of the things that came to my mind, there's a lot more that comes, already 10 right now. I want to conclude with this year, that my dear friends, it's an opportunity to be in this environment, especially in this Islahi environment, that we are able to be, the talaba that I normally try to work on, and most of them are university talaba, I try to make sure that they are able to realize the responsibility. They don't need to be told that what you need to do. Most of my students here in Canada, they work, they go to university, they do whatever they have to do, but they take the time out for studying. They are studying. They will be in different masajid, they will be studying. And that is exactly what we need here. That we need to come to the point that we are self-driven, we are self-motivated. We don't need others to push us. We don't want our asatiza, we don't want our nazim sahab to push us and pressure us to be in prompt in class, to be there for salat. But dear friends, for ulama, and I heard this when I was in England with Mullah Salim Durat Sahib, when I was in his company. I remember, he said, look at all the talibah. Look at all these talaba here. And he, you know, mashallah, I had good fortune to sit in his company in Leicester. And when I was there, he said, look at all these talaba here. They come, they read Quran, they go, no roll call, no nothing. And he walked me to their bedroom as well, to where their boarding facility is. I went there and I saw, subhanAllah, everything is neat and tidy. Everyone, every student, mashallah, their bed was fixed. Everything was neat and tidy. Everything was there. And I was shocked, subhanAllah. He said that, look, all the talaba that come here, I don't put pressure on them. They need to realize their own responsibility. They don't need to be told. They don't need to be reminded again and again. You know, my dear friends, one day we will have to step into the real medan, into the real life. Who is going to come to remind us? Our ustad will not be there to remind us. Therefore, my friends, we need to wake up. We need to understand that, you know, Nazim Sahib does not need to knock on my room. Let's take it upon ourselves that room number 2, room number 5, Nazim Sahib has so much confidence, he doesn't even need to knock on their door because we're already awake and we're studying and we're gone for salat. You know, for roll call for salat, subhanAllah, it's our responsibility as Ahlul Ilm that we are there and in salat and we don't miss the Takbiratul Ula. We are there. You know, there should be no roll calls for that. So my dear friends, as administration, there's a nizam for roll calls and different things. But we need to train ourselves. We need to make ourselves before we leave this four walls of the world in such a way that I understand my responsibility. I understand what I need to do. If I can make myself, then I will be able to help others. But if I'm not able to make myself, and if I'm not able to respect myself, and I'm not able to respect the knowledge that I got, my dear friends, we do not deserve respect from others because we were not able to respect us. Ourselves, we were not able to respect our knowledge. Therefore, I leave you, all of us, it's just a reminder for myself as well, that we need to make it such that we are able to do things without any pressure. And inshallah, we will see when you go out how successful we will be. I remember the last thing, I remember Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri, I used to be in his company, and I noticed that, subhanAllah, our mashayikh, they would be coming 2 o'clock in the morning. And we used to get excited because Mufti Sahib was not there. So we used to get excited that, okay, Mufti Sahib has gone to Bombay and he's not going to be studying. He's not going to be teaching. But despite that, we used to see Mufti Sahib, not that he would be there for Fajr, Adhan, but he would be there 1 hour before making Zikr. And we find many mashayikhs like that as well. So therefore, look at these mashayikhs, connect with these mashayikhs here, and we will be able to take so much benefit. I know I was supposed to end at 12 o'clock, but I took more time. I apologize, whatever I came, you know, I had someone ask me, what am I going to talk about? But whatever came up from my heart, I just spoke that, I spoke my heart, I didn't speak my mind, I spoke my heart. So if there's any mistakes in the air, I know I was sitting in the company of the ulama, so definitely I may have erred and slipped and made mistakes, so that is for my nafs, and whatever good, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are able to benefit from all that goodness. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanallah, wa nabili shabbat.